Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. So good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the eighth stage of yoga called samadhi, contemplation or illumination. We will discuss the application of Kriya Yoga as a spiritual science to actualize the experience of apotheosis. Listen as Swami explains the term initiation as a process in human development. Samadhi is a real experience with an evidence procedure. Transformation isn't magic, it is physics. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance, get the light in your soul, and initiate your process. So Swami, I have some information that I gathered from online, and this is from Wikipedia, and they have a definition for samadhi. And what they say is that samadhi refers to a state of meditative consciousness. It is a meditative absorption or trance attained by the practice of dhyana. In samadhi, the mind becomes still. It is a state of being totally aware of the present moment, a one-pointedness in mind. And then it goes on to say, in Buddhism, it is the last of the eight elements of the Noble Eightfold Path. In the Ashtanga Yoga tradition, it is the eighth and final limb identified in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. So why don't you give us your take on what samadhi means?
Well, again, for me, samadhi is the eighth stage of eight essential stages of Kriya Yoga. So it's the final stage, and it is associated, from my perspective, with a certain understanding of accomplishment, that there are changes that should take place, and these shouldn't just be mechanical changes, but it should be transformation or chemical changes that accompanies this particular experience. By definition, samadhi really is a point of simultaneous observation. It is where the individual sees themselves not only as separate, but at the same time as universal. And like we have been saying, from the onset, it begins with this initiation, where the rebirthing of the physical body in the life force, that matter and mind come together with new information, and that's what impregnates the seed of the mind, and now the conscious mind begins to grow in a positive direction. Your first four stages of yoga are basically practices, and your second four stages of yoga are process. So it's the same practices experienced at different levels of consciousness and different degrees of awareness. When we talked about dhyana, meditation, we said that the mind had expanded beyond the limits of the body and into the realms of mind. Now, in samadhi, the mind expands beyond the limits of the mind and now moves into the realms of spirit. And so that's an important thing to understand, is that in this model, that spirit isn't necessarily in the body as much as the body is in spirit. And in fact, mind isn't necessarily limited to the body. That the body is actually in the mind. And so these concepts kind of open you up to a broader perspective of yourself and the whole thing of growing psychologically and spiritually. But one of the questions I always have is samadhi, what would that be, even if you could do it? And my answer to that question always starts with a simple phrase that I use in my teaching, that being awake, being asleep, being alive, and being dead, that there's no difference. And that's a huge statement that you probably want to contemplate, because I've been contemplating that for the past 30 years. And when I do bring this up, one of the things that I say is that we may not know what it's like to be dead. So there's no sense sitting and turning this into an academic argument. So, but we do know what it's like to be awake, and we know what it's like to be asleep. And for teaching purposes, I usually focus on being asleep. That when you are asleep, when you are dreaming, you're lying in bed, you're experiencing this dream as if it's something that's happening to you. And the same is true with the waking state, that when we're awake, we are experiencing life as if it's something that's happening to us. But with regard to the dream state, you're lying in bed, you're sound asleep, you're everything in that dream. So you're all the people, you're all the events, circumstances, and any surroundings is all you. It's all a projected thought form. And being awake is identical. That we're everything, only we're not identifying or aligning ourselves with the cosmic dream of this complex thought form we call reality. And so samadhi really is when we now assume that level of awareness, we now start to see life through the vision of God or divine law.
Well, when I was searching for some points of discussion for the show today, I came across a couple of items, and it seems like everybody wants to give you the definition of what they think samadhi is, but there's very little about the methodology to get there. You know, there's one article that I found. It's a Yoga Journal article, and it's written by Nikki Doan. And in this article, she states that samadhi is sometimes called self-realization. And self-realization means getting to know yourself better. In the process, you learn to love yourself more. It's about accepting where you are today at this very moment and moving from a place of honesty. Tolerance is needed so much in the world today, and very much here in our own country as well. It starts at home in our own mind. When we can move from a place of truth and acceptance of ourselves, we can begin to accept and respect others. So there's her description, but still really no process and no procedure to get to that point.
Yeah, now you have to remember that samadhi is a realization and not a human understanding of divine law. In order to really understand samadhi, you have to understand what they call brahmacharya, which is your first stage of yoga. That carrier of Brahman, that this union of the individual with the divine. Now, just like currency should be backed by gold in order to be able to establish some sense of value to it. Any form of spirituality without the concept of a divinity is like a currency that doesn't have backing. So it becomes a claim or advice, whereas the actual experience of samadhi is a realization. It is a real experience. It's not just associated with, you know, something as simple as tolerance. That it is that, but it's so much more. And it's really more in sync with what the teachings of, say, Jesus. like Jesus tells us that we must love the Lord thy God with our heart, our soul, and our mind. Well, that's brahmacharya. But with this union with the divine comes this process, this initiation of this process. We are starting to grow psychologically and spiritually, that our identity is starting to transcend the limits of just seeing ourselves as separate. So we're now aligning ourselves with this one mind, with this divine law. As you start to expand your identity beyond the body, into the mind, and then eventually into the spirit, you recognize that we're all one. And the other thing is that you like yourself. And you realize that what you're putting out is what you're getting back. So now you start to see the Christian concept of love thy neighbor as thyself. But it's not just commandment of some kind of rule that you want to govern your conduct by. It is a state of being, a realization that we're all one. And what I'm putting out is what I'm getting back.
Wow, that makes so much more sense, especially compared to some of the articles I was reading in preparation for the show. And I see a lot of similarities where a lot of the authors want to say things like, let me just pull one out here. We need to relax the intensity of our effort and meditate on the endless energy within. So it sounds like she's trying to say, try to capture that feeling of the spirit that's inside of you. But yet that almost doesn't seem like that's quite right to me.
Well, again, the concept of love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, that there is only one truth. There's only one religion. There's only one yoga. There's only one number one need. And that becomes the gold behind truth. That's what gives everything power. And as a lot of the scriptures will tell you, they talk about false gods. They talk about avidya. That a lot of times we're drawing from a resource of energy that is mortal. It's limited. It's dualistic. And yet we think we're drawing from something that is immortal, unified and absolute, truth. And so that oftentimes becomes the origins of your lack of understanding or your inability to take something from an intellectual level to the experiential.
All right, well, great. I think we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll return with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I want to talk about another article that I had found online, and let me read you what this author states. And he says that samadhi is a spiritual experience that opens us to the highest state of consciousness and inner bliss. It is a stepping into your enlightened nature that is free from all suffering. Samadhi is found through diving into a consistent state of pure consciousness that is void of attachment to any thought. So I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, see, the thing about it is that it's not necessarily void of thought, because thought is our number one life-sustaining force. So when you're in samadhi, you don't stop thinking. But what you are is you're in the realms of the unified field, which is referred to as the void. So you're actually thinking nothing. You're focused on nothing. But you haven't stopped thinking. You're just attached to this concept of spirit.
I see. Well, he goes on to say, samadhi is a deep, personal, intimate merging with the divine inside you and all around you. It is being unified with the universe through your consciousness.
Yeah, that to me is exactly what we're talking about, that you actually start to see the world through God's eyes. And of course, it's like, what is the benefit of looking at the world through God's eyes? It's taking the term namaste, I bow to the divinity within you, to an experiential level for practical purposes. There's huge benefit to seeing the world through peace, love, happiness, and goodness. And I think on an experiential level, I was listening to a Christian Science YouTube lecture, and there was a woman in the lecture, and she was talking about her experience. She is the owner of like an art gallery or something along those lines in a large city. And five men walked in, and they were wearing chains, and, you know, they were dressed somewhat looking, I would imagine, like gangsters. And she noticed that one of them blocked the door, and they were kind of strategically lining up in the store, and she was anticipating that it was a potential problem here, you know, that she could either get robbed or maybe they would do personal harm to her. But rather than getting defensive, she reverted to her Christian Science training and said that God is good. And she actually, rather than judging these people by their appearances, she saw the divinity within them and started to visualize the divine qualities in these people, and she responded to them based on her spiritual observation of these individuals. And she approached one of them who was actually looking at a piece of art and asked him, you know, do you know what you're looking at? And she didn't do it in a condescending way, but she did it as if, you know, it was a college professor or a professional individual there, because she proceeded to explain the symbolism of the piece that she was looking at and treated this person as if he was a prominent citizen. And these people actually responded to her positively. And there's a lot to be said about that. And that's what I think is so important about this goal of yoga, to be able to actually see the world through divine law. to be able to experience yourself through this different perspective, which is very different than our human mind or mortal consciousness.
Yeah, that's a great story. Now, I want to go on and read you the last paragraph of this particular article. And he states, when one reaches samadhi, there is a deep knowing that all is one and that oneness is at the core of who you are. Samadhi gives you a moment-to-moment spiritual experience that is opening, trusting, and softening into each new moment of your life. Samadhi is the eternally expanding realization that your ego is not real and that you, the soul, spirit, and divine essence, are what is truly real and will never die.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I mean, the only thing I talk a lot about is I don't think it's a loss of self-conscious awareness. That I don't look at the ego as a bad thing. But I think that it is a expanded sense of awareness. That it's that when you achieve this state of being, that you don't lose self-conscious awareness. You don't lose your perspective of duality. But you understand that it's not the end all be all.
Well, I know I've heard you say many times that when you have this connection, anything and everything is possible. Now, this is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, well now you're drawing your reality from endless possibilities. And isn't that what the Bible tells us, that with God, anything is possible? And so what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with universal truth. And so whether you get this information from the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, the Vedas, the Upanishads, it doesn't much matter. But that this concept of truth is universal. But it's not just an intellectual accomplishment. That it is a, like I said earlier, it's a realization. You can't think that you're God, but you can be at one with divine law.
Interesting that you make that distinction. You cannot be God, but you can have a connection with it, with the spiritual aspect of God. Does that mean, or the qualities?
Well, you have a relationship. You become spiritual. You become divine. But you don't just do it intellectually, is what I'm saying.
So therefore, thinking and doing are going to be, or knowing and doing, I guess you could use that too, are definitely two different things.
Yeah, because samadhi is the doing aspect of knowing, union with the divine. It's kind of like reading books about snowboarding. Now, you could sit and you could talk snowboarding with all the best snowboarders in the world. But by the same token, you could find yourself on a mountain on a snowboard unable to get down because you never snowboarded. And to me, that's what samadhi is. Samadhi is the pragmatic application of finding harmony or harmonizing yourself with divine law seeking expression.
You know, I did, in my travels, I did read another article. And the article's title was The Dangers of Samadhi, right? And I didn't read the whole thing to the very end, but the gist of the article was the author states that he had, at this one moment in time, he had reached this, what he thought was this level of consciousness where where he experienced, you know, what they say, this bliss, this wonder, this awe, and for an interminable amount of time. And then when he came out of this meditation, he makes a claim that he tried for years to get back to that sense of that bliss, wonder, and awe again, because he couldn't find it again. He couldn't get there again. And then he went on to explain what that had done to his life, the dangers of his achieving that samadhi state.
Yeah, that's what happens when you don't have a scientific approach to your development. It's kind of like when you're working on the computer and you do something. Let's say you're working on a document, and all of a sudden you do something and you think, wow, how did I do that? Now, you know this program or this machine is capable of doing something, but you don't really know what you did. Now, that's what's very different about experiencing what I call a trance state as opposed to a true metaphysical or mystical experience. First of all, you know, a trance state can happen to you. You can experience this stuff by taking a drug, or you can experience it through numerous other ways, or it could just happen to you. But that's very different than when you consciously and willfully are able to actualize this desired state of being. And that's what a practice, or the practice of Kriya Yoga that we teach, gives you. It gives you the tools that you're employing strategies. You understand exactly what it is that you're doing, and you have signposts. There is an evidence procedure to this. And it all starts with you know, a very simple concept of just using what you need, your number one need, and it has to be your number one need, because anything else is what they call the sin. It misses the mark. You're drawing from a resource of energy that is limiting. And of course, if you are drawing from a limiting source of sustenance, you can't actualize these higher states of being. That's the physics of spirituality. And it's not like God doesn't want us to have it any some other way. It's just there is no other way. There's only one way that this goes right. And if you have a self-made system and you are dabbling in techniques and you have an experience, and then you get frustrated because you can't consciously and willfully generate that experience, then I would suggest that you get a more scientific approach to your concept of spirituality.
So I think that's what you mean when we said in the summary that transformation isn't magic, it is physics.
Yeah, it is physics. And it really comes down to training our minds to look for this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And then being able to internalize that in your physical body as your symbol for validation, as a source of sustenance. And that isn't magic. But the transformation that comes as a result of that has an evidence procedure.
And then again, so is that explaining the terms of initiation as a process in human development?
Yeah, well, your process unfolds in three phases. We go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. It parallels the metamorphosis of a butterfly. You go from caterpillar to chrysalis to butterfly. Larvae, chrysalis, adult.
Very nice. Well, unfortunately, it's time to close down our show. Great topic today. So, listeners, I'd like to invite you out there to please visit the website. It's IPDtransform.com. Once you're there, we've got all kinds of goodies there for you. You can scroll down that homepage and you can access all of the archive Blog Talk Radio shows. And plus, we have some great tools there for your learning experiences as well. So be sure to turn in next week. Into next week, we'll have another great show for you. So, Swami, is there anything else you'd like to talk to our listeners about before we close down the program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody good luck on their quest for wholeness and completeness. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.